Welcome to Sacrilegious Discourse.
For this is what the Sovereign Lord says.
Why do you need prophets to tell people who you are and what you want?
If you can justify everything that the God of the Bible has done, then you can justify any of your behavior.
A lot of this mentality is trickling into what is now mainstream right-wing Christianity.
I am capable of empathy greater than this God of the Bible.
This is a Bible that they tell kids. This is the good Lord. This is the good book. He is fantasizing about murder, mass murder.
Head over to sacrilegiousdiscourse.com right now to find out how to leave us a review or support us on Patreon.
Wife.
Husband?
Hey, so we are doing something a little different today.
What are we doing today?
Well, today, as this is releasing,
mm-hmm.
We're getting ready to head down to Northern Kentucky.
From Ohio.
Yeah. We're going to go to the Ark Encounter. Well, we're going to go near the Ark Encounter.
You're an Ark Encounter.
Yeah. So it's the 10th anniversary of the opening of the Ark Encounter, and there's been a protest every year at the Ark Encounter.
So you're going to tell me what the Ark Encounter is?
Yeah.
And so what the Ken protest Hamm is about?
Ken Hamm is the proprietor of the Ark Encounter, which is a life-size, maybe, version museum of
replica?
Of Noah's Ark.
Okay.
Replica.
A quote-unquote, where the word replica is doing some heavy lifting for a myth.
Yes. And, you know, look, museums are museums,
mm-hmm.
but
gift shops are gift shops.
Yeah,
Christ
sure.
doesn't like them.
He doesn't. You'd think there'd be people in there every day flipping tables or something, right?
Mm-hmm.
But no. So the problem really lies around the bad science and the idea that, I mean, like, Texas is teaching the Bible in fucking school now.
Mm-hmm.
These things are becoming, have been, always will be until we fix this shit, problematic.
Yeah, you can't just let people have their cute little religions over there, because the people that want their cute little religions over there, they don't want to just have their cute little religions over there. They want to make you have their cute little religion too. And if you don't want their cute little religion, then they just want to either kill you or put you in jail or force you to have their cute little religion and knock on your door and be like, have our religion, goddammit.
Yeah. Yeah. So this might shock you. I don't know. I want to throw it out there.
Mm-hmm.
The Noah's Ark story.
Mm-hmm.
It could have some holes in it.
It might not.
It's possibly not true. Even
it might not be a factual event.
It's a possibility. I'm just throwing this out there, and we're gonna dig into it a little bit.
Okay. So, I'm excited to hear what you bring to the table.
I want to preface this with, look, I did a lot of research, and there's way more than what I'm going to present with regard to facts that discount the idea that Noah's Ark is a real thing. And
besides just on the surface thinking about it for 2 seconds and going, that doesn't seem plausible.
Yeah, up into and including the amount of shit that would be on the fucking boat. I'm just saying. Like you know,
excrement.
Yeah.
Like feces.
Right.
Like poo-poo.
Yeah.
Like dookie.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So, I mean... Look, I've got a whole Noah's Ark hub on our webpage. So go to sacrilegiousdiscourse.com.
Try it again.
I can't speak. sacrilegiousdiscourse.com.
Mm-hmm.
And if you click up on our one of our menus, which I'm going to now so I can figure out which one it is. If you go to our resources, it's the last one. It says Ark Debunking.
Ark Debunking.
Yeah. And from there, you can kind of dig into. I've got scientific resources. I've got all kinds of shit. You can dig into it even more than what I'm going to go into here tonight.
So you can get into the shit that will be piled high on the boat.
That's right. That's right.
The boat shit.
Yeah. All right. So that's what we're doing today. We do still have a Q&A coming up for the episodes that we've covered. That will be coming up soon.
Yeah. I think it was, what, chapters 21 and 22 of Little Maddie?
That's your thing. I don't know.
I believe that is correct. But there's a lot. He had so many fucking parables, and I got to figure his shit out.
Yeah. Are you ready to get into the story of Gilgamesh? I mean, Noah?
Gilgamesh. That's where I heard that story. Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do this.
Okie dokie.
Okay, so what I've got today is we're going to go over 10 things that kind of discount the whole Noah arc story.
Okay. Again, this is above and beyond the, that doesn't seem credible.
Right. So this way people can share it and be like, top 10 reasons Noah Ark isn't real.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I didn't do that on purpose. I just like 10, and I didn't want to make it too long. So that's all. 10 sounded like a nice round number.
10 is a nice round number. I'm also fond of 7, but multiples of 5.
The Bible's very fond of 7.
You should have done 7 plus 7. 3.
Then we'd be more biblical.
You should have done 7 with 3 bonus ones.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, Are you ready for the fact number one?
Yes.
Okay. Fact number one is the earth does not have enough accessible water to cover every mountain, which in the Bible, Genesis says flood water rose until all the high mountains under the whole heaven were covered.
All right. Counterpoint. I think we all know that since this was written by by men.
Yeah.
B, men who are talking about a local tribal god who to them was their whole fucking planet. They didn't know.
Yeah.
I think we all know that when they say the waters cover the whole planet, What they really mean is this little corner of the globe.
Well, yeah. And that's so there are many stories that are flood stories in many different cultures. Mm-hmm. Right. And that we'll get into that a little bit later.
Okay.
But a lot of early human civilizations lived by rivers and lakes and oceans and whatever.
Very important and relevant to their daily life.
Yes, because these floods would have happened, right?
They did. We talked about that in our Old Testament episodes.
Yeah, and this is just an overblown flood story is all it is, right? But even if you took all of the glacier water, like if you melted all the glaciers and you took all the water out of the atmosphere, it still would not come even close. It would be catastrophic to the earth, first of all. But it wouldn't even come close to covering all the mountains. It would not.
Not all the mountains of the planet, but what about just all the mountains in that area?
Not really, no.
No?
No. Okay.
I'm trying to give, quote unquote, give grace here.
If it's a true mountain range like the Alps, which would have been in that general vicinity, It's not going to cover those mountains. The majority of those mountains are not going to be covered.
Okay.
So
the mountains weren't covered. There's not enough water.
Right. Even if you melted all the glaciers, it would roughly raise the sea level by 70 meters. So 70 meters, I don't know what the feet is. Let's just call that 130 or 120 feet.
Okay.
I got this from research, so I don't know exactly what I didn't do the calculation the other way.
I know. I'm like, damn, meters.
Right. But regardless, that's like a small hill.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, this isn't a fucking mountain that it would cover. It again, would be catastrophic to the earth.
Right.
But it wouldn't do what the Bible said it was going to do.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway.
That's point one.
Not enough water. Not enough water. Yeah.
Okay. Fuck your flood. Right in the eye.
Fact two. Earth does not contain a recent worldwide flood layer.
I've heard that one.
A global flood should leave behind one large recognizable geological signature across the entire planet. We should find approximately the same catastrophic layer everywhere, containing a chaotic mix of humans, dinosaurs, modern mammals, marine organisms, forest plants, desert animals, human tools, and settlements. But instead...
Settlements.
Okay. Sorry. I said that.
No, you said
I'm very bad at reading my notes. So, like, you know, it's...
That's okay.
That's why you do most of the reading.
No, but you're the one bringing this today.
But instead, what we find is different formations produced in different environments altogether, all across the globe.
Okay.
And, you know, like, the Grand Canyon has something different than somewhere else would have. It's just, it's not congruent with a global flood.
And even an area flood would still leave you with those things in that area.
Right.
And so are we saying that we're not finding even like local flooding.
Well, no, local flooding, there's definitely indications of local flooding. But if we were talking, what was indicated in the Bible was a global flood.
Right.
And there is no evidence that that does not match up with geological surveys anywhere.
Okay. I hear you. My question, though, is just assuming that they fucked up the word global and they didn't realize that they don't.
Sure.
That their little.
Right. You're plot. Trying to make the story make sense.
No, I'm trying to say, okay, maybe what they actually meant was just this area. Was there like large flooding in just that large, like all of the Middle East? And
no.
Oh,
but okay. Let's just say there's no flood event that could have put Noah's Ark at the top of Mount Ararat.
Okay. That's my question.
That would have happened in this kind of time frame or yeah, no.
Okay.
That didn't happen.
That didn't happen. Got it. Okay.
So that was fact two.
Okay.
Fact three.
Mm-hmm.
Fossils appear in a consistent order instead of one flood produced mixture. So by that I mean
you see my face like, huh?
Yeah, if every animal on Earth drowned during the same event, their remains should be all mixed together.
Okay,
right?
Yeah.
They're not. The fossil record has a consistent general order. So it goes early marine organisms appear in the very old rocks. Fish become abundant later. Amphibians appear after fish. Reptiles appear later than that. Dinosaurs occupy the portion, like, after that there's dinosaurs, but then most modern mammal groups appear much later than the dinosaurs, and then humans appear extremely near the top.
Yeah.
Like, so in a consistent order with evolution and science and...
That whole thing where if the history of the planet was... or if the history of life on the planet was on a clock, like, humanity would be, like, the 30 seconds to midnight. That's how short a time we've been on the planet kind of thing.
Yeah.
And the whole rest of all of the animal and life on the planet matches up with that science, not with flood theory.
Right. And flood advocates, they claim that animals were buried according to their habitats or their ability to escape, but that doesn't explain the actual pattern. Whales and other marine animals are found in different geological periods. Plants appear in sequence. Microscopic plankton appear in sequence. Animals that lived in similar environments still occur in different layers. So it also fails to explain animal tracks on ancient surfaces, eggs and nests, burrows dug into the sediment, intact reefs, forests that grew on top of older formations, new layers deposited above those forests. Like, there's just so many consistent layers with a consistent history.
There's a way that we've aged the planet, the way that we figured out evolution and geology and how old the planet is and all of that.
Right.
Is through science, and the stories don't line up with that.
Right. And so, like, a fleeing animal explanation might sound plausible for like a rabbit, but it doesn't explain how pollen, plankton, reefs, fish, mammals, and other organisms are consistently organized across continents.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it just doesn't line up.
So it tells you where this one rabbit ran, but not like where they all went.
right, yeah.
Got it. Yeah.
It's a global flood should have created a biological mishmash of everything,
right?
And instead it's ordered. So
yeah,
that's really weird if that's the case. So
God be so organized,
right? Why would God do that?
Well, I mean, I like the people that say that the dinosaurs were either not real or they were totes real, they were on the Ark too, right? And I'm like, get the fuck out of here with that nonsense.
Yeah, well, and the New Earth creationists often think the dinosaurs were on the Ark.
Yeah, they think that humans and dinosaurs happened at the same time.
Yeah, which is really fucking weird.
And I'm
to
like,
me.
Why? Did you even... Do you... What? We were talking about this stuff in fifth grade.
Yeah.
Fifth grade life sciences.
Yeah.
Where were you? Were you not there that day?
Right.
I don't understand. And I'm not the brightest bulb, guys.
So, fact four.
Okay.
Ice cores preserve climate records far older than any proposed Noah's flood story. When
this goes along with the geology stuff.
It does. It does. But it's slightly different because the ice core is a different way of measuring times and things like that. But when scientists drilled deeply into the ice sheets of Greenland and Antarctica and removed long cylinders of ice, they're called ice cores.
Cylinders of ice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The cores preserve seasonal snowfall layers, dust, volcanic ash, sea salt, ancient air bubbles, chemical changes, and evidence of past temperatures. So this is also not indicative of a global flood. So there's two. We've got the geological.
The rocks.
And we've got
the sediments.
The ice.
And the ice.
Right? Yeah. And neither one of them account for what supposedly happened in the flood.
That's so cute.
And the timeline in the ice goes back further than what the global flood is supposedly happened at.
Obviously.
Which, according to that method of gauging time, mm-hmm. pretty much all of history with regard to animals and humans and everything should have essentially restarted at that moment in time.
Right.
Like everything would have restarted right then.
Like 1, 2, 3, go.
Yeah. Yeah. So there should have been something very different.
1, 2, 3, go.
Right then. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And it didn't. So I'm not going to go into you can go into that more into the website because it's kind of in the same line as the geological stuff. So.
Sure.
Fact five. Two animals are not enough to rebuild a healthy species.
Well, no shit.
Yeah. So the ARC story says the animal populations were restored from extremely small founding groups, commonly one breeding pair of each type and additional pairs of certain clean animals. Yeah.
That's not possible. Like, the way that you know that that's not possible is that when we talk about building arcs today, like spaceship arcs, to preserve humanity and to preserve plant and animal life on Earth, we don't just say one baby, one each. Right. Like, when we build, like, particularly in science fiction, like in the movie Interstellar or anything where we're talking about trying to recolonize an entire other planet or station or something.
And anybody who's watched any science fiction mm-hmm. knows that this creates a genetic problem.
Yeah.
Or scientists.
Yeah. You know?
So, I mean, a single male and female carry only a small sample of their species' genetic diversity.
It's why the Adam and Eve story doesn't work, y'all.
Right. Yeah. It's why you don't date your cousin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their offspring would have to have bred with siblings, parents, or other close relatives. And then because of that, harmful recessive mutations are much more likely to happen. In fact, there's been examples of smaller sets of animals that have been whittled down to like one family that have died off because of genetics.
Interbreeding,
right.
Small gene pool.
Because it's going to cause things like birth defects, reduced fertility, weakened immune systems, lower survival rates, loss of genetic variation, greater vulnerability to disease, and increased risk of extinction.
I mean, we see that in all of the royal families of Europe who are interbred.
Yeah.
I mean, they just are.
Yeah.
Like, that's history. Like, that's not even me being childish or silly or insulting. That's like, no, literally they were marrying each other's sisters and brothers and cousins.
Yeah. Yeah. And this problem becomes even worse because sometimes in order to make all the animals fit onto the ark, creationists, young earth creationists mm-hmm. will often invoke kinds. So this is an argument. Instead of like lions and tigers and panthers.
Oh, it's just one wild.
Kinds.
There's only one kind of of wild cat.
Yeah. So under that model, one ancestral cat pair would have to produce lions, tigers, leopards, jaguars, lynx, cheetahs, pumas, domestic cats, and all of the things.
You know what I just got out of that though?
What?
what I just got out of that is that they accidentally, inadvertently said, oh no, we do believe in evolution, but only as applies in this one particular case.
Well, that's,
that isn't even true.
Yeah, no, no. If they bring up the kinds, you would have to be like, so then you believe in evolution then.
Clearly, you have to.
Right. So, like, and they, but then they would backtrack and they would be like, well, no, no, no. But, you know, but whatever.
Yes, yes, but yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right? So, like, yeah. You can't have it both ways, my good sir.
But the problem with that is that they only believe that there's been about 6,000 years of history.
Right.
Right?
Not possible.
It's not fucking possible to have that genetic diversity arise from a kind in that amount of time. That's just not beyond the whole problem of inbreeding.
Mm-hmm.
You, if let's say it manages to get past that somehow.
Somehow.
You still have to evolve to all these different species that exist today from that single pair 6,000 years ago?
Right.
No.
No.
No, no, no.
Evolution clearly doesn't happen that fast, which is why they keep asking, if evolution is real, why don't we see it today? Because evolution doesn't happen that fast.
Yeah.
Duh.
Right.
Oh my God, this is pissing me off. It's so idiotic.
It is. It is.
I hate it.
Yeah.
Go on. Tell us the next point.
All right. Fact six.
Ugh.
The distribution of animals does not point back to Mount Ararat.
Okay. Do you mean to say, let me try and understand what you're saying here. Do you mean to say that animals existed in all other places of the globe and that's not their origin point?
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that kangaroos hopped from Mount Ararat to Australia?
And then just like Australia like cut itself off magically from the rest of the globe and then no more kangaroos?
Yeah.
They all managed to
lemurs,
get there.
Did they just make their way to Madagascar, mm-hmm. that island off the coast of Africa?
Yeah. And then all of them made it. And then they were like, phew, we made it.
Yeah.
And then they pulled up the rope behind them.
Sloths. They somehow made it to Central and South America.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's across some major fucking oceans.
Right.
Again,
proof of evolution.
How'd they do that?
Mm.
What?
How'd they get there?
What happened there?
I don't know.
Penguins in Antarctica.
Mm-hmm.
What? How'd that go?
Well, they teleported. Clearly,
I really need to know these stories. Like, how did this happen?
You know, I want to know.
Is there like a post Noah Ark Santa Claus for delivering animals?
Distribution system,
right? Yeah, was there some magical distribution system happening or what?
Well, that's not in the Bible, so we don't. God knows. We don't need to know it. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, no, but I'm curious. I want to know.
And then some people will say that land bridges solve this, but what? So you in 6,000 years, we can pretty much account for every land bridge that basically never fucking existed in 6,000 years.
Well, yeah.
I mean, like, no, there was no land bridge to fucking Australia in 6,000 years ago. There was no land bridge to Madagascar. Just no.
No, that's not how geology works, y'all.
Right. And there was no land bridge. Oh, just no.
Listen. We know that there was a Pangaea at one time,
right,
where all them continents were connected
up. That was millions of years
ago. It was not 6,000 years
ago. No.
Stop. You need to stop.
Yeah.
You cannot. This is silly. You're being childish. Stop it.
Right. The only land bridge that I can even imagine would have been tens of thousands of years ago, if maybe more, and it would have been an ice bridge between Asia and the Americas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's how some of the Native American population made it over to the United Americas, right? And there's different theories on that too, but essentially those time frames are longer than the fucking biblical time frame.
Mm-hmm.
So none of this makes any fucking sense.
I hate it because it makes you have to try to understand the science better that most of us just like take for granted as knowing. And it's like, couldn't we all, I don't really want to go back to biology class. Like, I got the gist of it. I should not have to explain like cellular division to you.
Yeah.
You know, you were in school, you were there. I know you were. There were people who were in classes with me who now are spouting this bullshit.
Yeah.
They got better grades than I did. How? How? Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, right.
I'll stop now.
All right, fact seven. Mm-hmm. A global flood would kill enormous amounts of freshwater and marine animals.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Saltwater versus freshwater.
Right. I mean, what are we saying? Damn. Did the fucking Ark have fish tanks in it or what? Because when you mix all the water together in a global fucking flood.
It doesn't mix.
It does mix. Right. But it doesn't mix in a way that's conducive to life in the oceans or freshwater.
Well, it doesn't mix in that it becomes one of the things, not both of the things.
Right. Yeah.
Like, no.
And even coral reefs would die off. Like that's because you're mixing fresh. There's all kinds of problems with this. So
that one, like, it makes sense. Duh. That's obvious. Right. But it, like, that never even occurred to me.
Yeah. If we're talking about a true global flood, you would have killed a large portion of the marine life.
There would be no fresh water today.
Right. Now, initially, some of them would have had some extra food with all the people that died and everything. But,
That's so gross.
But there's just no, you can't explain that away.
Right.
Like we, either that or we have to have, again, a very ramped up version of evolution that happened shortly after the flood.
Except because, that y'all don't believe in evolution, so stop.
Yeah. It just, like, the whole fucking thing makes no sense. So, fact eight, we kind of touched on this in the intro. Eight people could not have fed, watered, and cleaned up all the Ark's animals.
Even if you're just reducing them to quote-unquote kinds.
Yeah, yeah. So there was Noah, his wife, his three sons, and his son's three wives.
Yeah.
So those eight people would have to operate an enormous amount of cleanup, carrying food, distributing fresh water, which where the fuck are they getting that if they're in a giant flood?
Oh my God.
Right? They'd have to have a desalination station on the fucking Ark.
For 40 days and 40 nights?
We're talking about a desalination station on a wooden fucking boat carrying all the... No. Again, no.
No.
What the fuck? They wouldn't even have fresh water.
No.
Like, they'd be lucky if they had fresh water. They'd have to remove the manure, replace bedding. They have to treat injuries, because think of how tightly packed all these fucking animals are in there.
Yeah.
They'd have to separate animals that were trying to eat other
animals. You and I talked about that when we were going through this the first time.
Yeah, well, like, what are you, like a fucking lion tamer? Like, I mean, come on. This is such crap. Ventilation. Think about how much shit.
Oh, God.
And like ammonia and just all the things that would be building up in this ship.
Ventilation.
You would die strictly from not enough venting.
Man, there ain't enough venting in the world for the litter box they would have to have. And I say that as a cat mama who hates scooping the litter box.
Right, right. Mm-mm. And we're talking about a 6,000-year-old wooden ship carrying every fucking animal on the planet, apparently.
Right? Two of each.
What if something went wrong, like they had to repair a portion of the ship?
Imagine.
How are you doing that? There's snakes crawling everywhere. There's fucking bugs. According to this, you'd have to have viruses on the fucking ship, too, because, like, how does all this stuff survive?
Right.
So then, like, what the fuck is going on? How are they doing this?
How did they have, like, the spare parts to fix any repairs?
Right, right. What if an animal got sick? How did they care for... They didn't have vets on the boat.
Wow. Like,
what the fuck are you doing with that?
No, that was magic. They just... No animal was sick.
And then they have to make sure that they're okay on top of that. Like, not getting eaten by these animals and fucking not dying of ventilation problems and...
Could you imagine how much, like, piss it smelled? Like...
Oh, I mean...
I'm so sorry, but urine... Like, poop stinks, okay? Poop stinks, but urine is so much worse than poop, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
Oof.
Yeah, so this is just a small snippet, but let's suppose that the Ark had 7,000 animals on it, the animal enclosures on it.
Okay.
And that's few far than would need... Then would be needed to
make this generous.
A literal interpretation of actually bringing all the animals.
But let's
right?
be generous.
But if each enclosure received only 1 minute of human attention per day, that would require more than 116 labor hours every day.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's just solid math, y'all.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
There's not enough. There's too many animals, not enough people, not enough space.
I divided them on eight people. That would be approximately 14 and a half hours per person every single day. So,
but that's,
I guess it could be done at 7,000, but that's way short of what actually
had to be on that ship. That's assuming you only spent 1 minute with
each. 1 minute. 1 fucking minute.
Yeah. Like, nope, gotta go.
14 and a half hours. And that's assuming that they're all exactly next to each other.
And you don't have to walk between
anything. Right, yeah.
You better have worked there for years to have worked out your system. Oh, wait, no, you didn't have years because this just happened.
Right, and then at 1 minute, you got to get rid of the waste. You got to replace bed. You got to do all the things.
Yeah.
Right?
Feed, one water, minute. Clean.
Go. And move on to the next fucking stall. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's again, way lower than that number would need to be.
Right.
So just throwing that out. In other words, it didn't fucking happen.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Fact nine.
Jesus Christ. It just keeps going.
Right, right. The Ark could not have provided the animals with specialized diets and habitats.
Because where was their food even?
Right, right. Yeah. All animals do not survive on generic bags of grain and hay.
Which they didn't even have.
Yeah. Many species require very highly specialized foods. So like koalas rely heavily on eucalyptus leaves. Giant pandas depend primarily on bamboo. Anteaters consume ants and termites. Right? Many snakes eat particular prey animals like mice, right?
Mm-hmm.
Numerous insects depend upon one host plant. Hummingbirds require frequent access to nectar or similar types of food, right? Carnivores require meat or another biologically adequate substitute. Many animals depend on gut microbes obtained through particular diets or contact with their parents.
Mm-hmm.
How the fuck are they maintaining all that and getting all these animals to survive the trip? Because you have to literally feed animals to some of the animals.
Right.
And then on top of that, you have to have specific plants for some of these animals that are on your...
Oh, and how are the plants surviving?
How are you keeping your penguins cold? How are you keeping... Like, temperature is a problem.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Like, your penguins got to be iced down while your snake's got to be...
Oh, shit. We have to keep heat on our snake. And he's a corn snake, you know?
Yeah, he's just a dumb little doodah.
Right, yeah.
He's just like a little backyard guy.
Right. And you're telling me they encountered, I mean, there had to be storms. Like, so some of this is happening during storms, right? So, like, there's...
Oh, fuck like, you with a wildcat on a boat. I read The Life of Pi. Uh-uh. Yeah.
And they didn't have heat lamps. They didn't have fucking ice cubes. They didn't have none of that shit.
Nope.
What is happening? And more than
not the story of Noah's Ark.
We like to joke about how these animals got from here to there, but how do they get from there to there?
How they get to the boat to get on it.
Yeah.
And then how they get off the boat and get to where they were going.
Was there like a word put out across the globe before this? Like, hey, y'all need to get over here. Because like, this is going to be the only boat in town.
Those folks didn't even know about Antarctica. Get the fuck out of here with penguins.
Right, right.
They never saw a penguin. They never saw a penguin. They didn't know about kangaroos and shit. Come on.
Yeah. And then finally.
Okay.
Fact 10. The Genesis flood story belongs to an older Mesopotamian flood tradition.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Gilgamesh one that you mentioned. But more than that.
Yeah. It goes further back than that. They're all basically... There's three that I looked up, and that was... there's Zeus... I'm sorry. Hold on. I looked up the pronunciations here. So it's Zeus-Sudra. Zeus-Sudra. Yeah, that's one.
Okay.
I think
we went through this, and I think I have the same problems.
Even the pronunciations are hard, but it's...
I love watching you do this.
It's Ziumudra. Ziumudra is the first one.
Okay.
Sorry. Oh, no, that's what it rhymes with. Shit. No, that's not right.
Oh, my God.
Ziusudra. Ziusudra.
Ziusudra? Rhymes with mudra?
Ziusudra.
Ziusudra.
Yeah. Anyway. Okay. Next one, Atrahasis.
Atrahasis?
Atrahasis.
Hasis or Hosis?
Atrahasis.
Hasis. Okay.
Yeah, Atrahasis.
Atrahasis.
Yeah, and then the other one is Utnapishtim.
Utalali.
Utnapishtim. So those okay, and one of the they're the epic of those three, and but except well two the first two, the last one is the epic of Gilgamesh.
Right.
That's just the name of the character.
Yeah.
Which a lot of people are familiar with the Epic of Gilgamesh. Mm-hmm. So that's why I mentioned that one in the beginning.
Right.
But
but it goes back even further than that.
Yeah, yeah. These are just the most popular ones and whatever. Mm-hmm. So the biblical flood story was not the first ancient flood story about a divinely chosen man surviving a catastrophic flood aboard a large vessel. Mesopotamian literature contains earlier flood traditions involving figures such as the people that I mentioned. There's actually a famous flood tablet at the British Museum.
British Museum?
Yep, from the Epic of Gilgamesh. And the museum specifically notes its similarity to the flood story in Genesis. The parallels include the gods decide to send a devastating flood. One man receives a warning. He is told to construct a large boat. He brings family members and living creatures aboard. The flood destroys the surrounding population. The vessel eventually comes to rest. Birds are released to determine whether the waters have receded. The survivor often offers a sacrifice afterward. Mm. That's a lot of fucking.
That's like, the story.
If you've read the story, that is basically the fucking story.
Right.
And I'm not saying that it got copied into the Bible, but I'm saying it got copied into the Bible.
Right. And it's not like they said, "Let's make this ours." No, obviously it was an oral tradition that changed hands and
I've got no problem with
moved
that.
Along. Yeah, yeah, it's wonderful literature. I love it as a myth.
Yeah, I think that there is a lot of stories, especially in the Old Testament, mm-hmm. that are older myths that got brought into what has become the Bible, right? Sure. And they were traditions that people were working through over time.
In this one particular part of the world.
Yes.
Because I know that some Native American cultures also have flood stories.
Yeah. Well, and again, older civilizations often lived right next to water. So mm-hmm. it's going to be a large part of what they encountered. Their towns would literally be right on the banks of a fucking river. Mm-hmm. So if it floods, they're having problems. That's a problem. The floods were a big problem.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if your whole town gets flooded, you're going to think that it's the world.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. I've got no problem with the stories.
Right.
I've got problems with us still taking them as literal stories thousands of years later.
It's just so silly. Come on, y'all. Stop.
Yeah.
Let it just be literature. That's cool. Well, it's really cool literature.
I don't think that most Christians, I'm not saying all, but I don't think that most Christians actually understand that this story is literally ripped out of older texts.
Right.
It's not something...
Well,
unique to their Bible.
They would have to understand that there were older texts.
Right.
They would have to understand that there were older civilizations.
Yeah.
They would have to understand the history of mankind.
Right.
And that it didn't start when they think it starts, and that it didn't involve the people that they think that it involves.
Right, right. And honestly, this is why we're excited to go down for the protest for the Ark Encounter. Mm. Because it is often used as a literal story.
Mm-hmm.
It is used as a literal reference of historical events when it comes to biblical teaching. And that is just simply not accurate.
And see, when I first heard about the quote-unquote Ark Encounter, I assumed, foolish me, that it was a joke. And that it was,
I mean, a place. It is kind of, but not to the people that are running it. Yeah,
the people that run it actually either believe it or are selling it as though they believe it.
Sure.
And at the end of the day, either it way, doesn't really fucking matter. But I thought that it was like, oh my God, let's go to Hell, Michigan, right? Oh my God, let's go see the Ark. Like, I thought that these are just funs.
Yeah.
These are just fun places. These are just... like tourist destinations that are silly and fun. I didn't know that, like, no, this is supposed to be a for real replica. It's just like the real art. Like, what? And then people go there and they actually believe it.
Yeah.
What? And then they present, like, from what I understand, they have like plaques and like they've done it up to where it looks like an actual museum where they present their quote unquote facts. And you're supposed to, like, walk through it as though it's an actual museum and learn the things from them.
Right.
And that's a goddamn tragedy.
Yeah.
That I'm dumbfounded.
No, it's, yeah, it's so not dumb. It's not great. I will say this. So if you, so this will be releasing at 6 a.m. as always on, I guess, so it's going to come out on Sunday, mm-hmm. Which is the day of the protest. So mm-hmm. if you are anywhere near the Ark Encounter, please feel free to come out and join us. We have some signs. I think I was getting cute and I'm doing the signs using my wood engraving machine. So they're collectibles, you know, like if you want to come grab one, you just let us know, hey, mm-hmm. I heard you giving out some signs and we'll give you one of the signs as long as you know, are one of the first like five people. Cause I didn't have time to make a whole lot. So
I know you were trying to make 10, but you made five. That's cool. I made
like five. Yeah.
Yeah. And they have the QR code on the back that goes straight to the website so you can learn more about this thing.
It does. And I'm going to link in this episode to our Bible or our Noah's Ark hub that we have at the bottom of the show notes in this episode as well. Okay. So I really don't have anything else. I wanted to put something else out. I wanted to put something out because we're heading down to that protest tomorrow mm-hmm. and we didn't quite have our Q&A ready. So
what are we protesting exactly?
Well, so they take public funds for museum.
As a quote-unquote museum.
And they don't pay taxes because it's quote-unquote religious.
Oh,
and
wow. So they're almost double-dipping, you could say.
Yeah. Wow. Well, and they're promoting ideas that are very anti-science. And those ideas are very much permeating into
American state laws. And American legal culture and American state laws laws.
I think what we're protesting is our country's slide into a theocracy at this point mm-hmm. and the need to have some common sense and actual education back mm-hmm. for our kids.
Yeah.
Like this is absurd and we should be treating it like it's absurd.
Because it is absurd.
Right. I'm if you want to treat it as a story and it's a great story.
It's wonderful literature and history.
As metaphors, I'm fine with that. Yeah. Right? But when you start telling me that this is a real thing, which is what they are doing at this museum, mm-hmm. fuck you.
Yeah. Honestly, fuck you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
I protest that. Okay. Yeah, right. All right. And so, where's this thing located again now?
Just look up Ark Encounter in Kentucky. It's Northern Kentucky. I will link to the event page in the show notes as well. But it's Northern Kentucky.
So not far, a little bit south of Cincinnati.
Yeah.
In Ohio.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. All right. Well, thank you guys for joining us today and hope you enjoyed the episode.
And, you know,
it's a little different because I was doing it.
I really hope we see some of you out there. That'd be cool.
Yeah. We always love that. That's awesome. Yep. All right. Oh, Seth Andrews will be there too.
Seth Andrews. Yeah. Come see Seth Andrews. Right. I'm excited about that.
I am too.
A real celebrity.
All right, we'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Hey, wife, I guess that's the end?
But husband, that's just sad.
It doesn't have to be. We are on lots of social media platforms like Twitter. Our handle there is sacrilegious_D.
For D's nuts.
Oh my God. Stop doing that. Anyway, we're also on Facebook, Instagram, and Pinterest. There's a link to all of our social media sites at our website.
Ooh, we have a website?
Yeah, it's sacrilegiousdiscourse.com, where you can also find a link to our merch shop.
We have a merch shop?
Yep. We have podcast-themed clothing, mugs, notebooks, and more, as well as an atheist and science-themed products.
Wow, our fans should really go check that out right now.
Definitely. They can get in touch with us by sending an email to sacrilegiousdiscourse@gmail.com. But before they do that, we could really use some help.
Oh yeah? With what?
Well, it's not free running the podcast, and we need some financial support in order to get better equipment, which will free up time so we can concentrate on our podcast and our fans.
Okay, so what should they do?
Head over to patreon.com/sacrilegiousdiscourse and sign up as a contributor on our podcast. Supporters there receive additional bi-weekly episodes that we record just for our Patreon members for as little as $2 a month.
Also, we'd really appreciate it if you would like and subscribe on whatever platform you're using.
And Apple Podcast reviews help us out tremendously.
Like and subscribe. Leave an Apple review. Join us on Twitter. Support us on Patreon. That's a lot of instructions. Don't forget to say thanks.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.